UNS School District and City Council meeting, December 9th, 2014.
Oh, and it was going to be the night of elections.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. And so we were scheduled for this month. All right. I guess we have a few new people here that might need to be introduced. I don't know that, well, I guess that means we all need to introduce ourselves so everyone knows who we are.
It's been a while.
So I'll start here. I'm Carl Erickson. I'm on the school board, the chairman of the board.
Sally MacArthur, and I'm a trustee.
Lane Saxton, projects manager for the school district.
Kevin DeLashman, assistant superintendent.
Brianna Bubin-Bonderhaar, city council.
Pat Jones, city council.
Jenny Greger, trustee.
Richard Roach, city attorney.
Joe Steer, city council.
Brenda Bingham, city clerk.
Greg Nelson, mayor.
Richard Cardoza, city council.
I was waiting to see what else you were going to say.
Yeah, he was thinking.
Yeah, he was going, okay.
That was like a maybe better not.
I think so. I'm Wendy Johnson, superintendent.
Melanie DeLashman, business and employee services.
Laura Nelson, board clerk.
Michael Love, board trustee. All right, and then we have actually one new trustee that hasn't been to one of these meetings yet, but he's not here. Maybe he'll come a little later. Yeah. Maybe some of you know him.
He's
certainly
my dentist.
A,
he's your dentist.
Yeah, okay. Maybe your dentist. Yes. So he's our new clerk, and we're happy to
do
have
a
him.
Quick little.
Yeah.
We have an update on staff changes. Were we anticipating explaining a little more?
I wasn't sure if there were other staff changes since it's been since July. And we do have a new clerk with Lori, and she's already clerk of the board. And Melanie DeLashman has taken on the responsibility of supervising not just our human resources, but also our business services. So we've hired a CPA since last we met. Our business manager resigned and went on to other things, and so we have a CPA, and then Melanie, with her banking background, is serving, kind of overseeing that area for us. So we have dual eyes on our books.
Great.
For us. So yeah. So you know her, but she has a little bit more responsibilities. Any changes with you guys? No. Nope. Looks like it's
nope.
All the same.
I think
folks.
We're all the same.
Right.
All right. Now, the first thing we want to talk about tonight is kind of a new. Oh, he's here.
There's
Troy.
Troy.
Good. I guess the CUNA study circles is getting really energized, and Troy Lambert, you now become the leader of the group. Is that right?
The chairman.
The chairman. All right. Well, do you want to? We'll give you a couple minutes to let us know.
Sure.
What do you want us to know?
Where would you like me to stand?
Anywhere.
So the minimum number of people at the crane.
You can just start doing laps.
Yeah. It would probably be good for me. I'm Troy Lambert. As Carl said, I'm the chairman. I'm now the chairman of CUNA Act, which meant that a few months ago when we reactivated CUNA Act, I was at a meeting handed a box, which was CUNA Act, and then figured out what was in the box, and who we were, and what we were, and what that meant. I had not heard of, I've worked in collaborative environments before, but I had not heard of the study circle method, so I am new to that too, which is essentially the method that we'll be using to conduct CUNA Act activities. So real quick, I'm just going to tell you what CUNA Act is, what it isn't, what we want, and what we need, and I'll try to be really fast. The first thing that CUNA Act is a reboot of CUNA Study Circles. Now, it's always been, the company name or the nonprofit name has always been CUNA Act, but it was always known as CUNA Study Circles. Mm-hmm. So there's some confusion about people that have been around a while. They're like, what is CUNA Act? It's the exact same thing. It's just under new leadership, kind of rebooting. The trigger for it was pretty much the debate that surrounded the school levy. Inspired a number of us to reboot and say, you know, that debate became less about the central issue of the school levy and became more political. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing that CUNA Act is the study circles are a place where anybody can express any position, in a non-biased and safe environment. It doesn't mean that you have to check your opinion at the door, or that everybody, it just means everybody has to play nice. It's a collaborative environment. Now, the place that I've done this, the two biggest examples where I have done this kind of thing, not the study circle environment, is in the environment versus the logging industry, and the environment versus the mining industry. So I'm used to being in a room with people that don't like each other, and being the guy in the middle, which isn't always a pleasant position, and doesn't always make you popular, and quite honestly, I just don't care. I just really wanted what was, because the other thing the CUNA Act is it's a place where we can generate meaningful feedback of what the citizens of CUNA want. In other words, I know what I want CUNA to look like in the future, 5 years from now. I know what I would like to see in the recreation district. Here's the thing, who cares? I'm one guy. We have a whole community of citizens that need to be able to put in impact, put in input, but put it in such a way where everybody gets heard, everybody gets a voice, and everybody gets a chance to speak their mind. Because what I think may not be the majority, believe it or not, may not be the majority opinion of citizens of CUNA. And I think that's the most valuable thing that CUNA Act adds. And that's the primary thing that CUNA Act does. We're an organization, the primary thing we want to do at all times is keep what's best for the community in the forefront.
So it's not limited to education, it's just anything that affects CUNA.
Yes, I've actually opened a dialogue with ACHD, and it's not a wonderful dialogue yet because they have their own system of public interaction. They feel like it works pretty well. So they're not real keen on changing up and trying something different. However, that's something we could do. We could do a study circle on the roundabout at Linder and Deerfly. And that would be a very viable topic. So in other words, it doesn't matter. The recreation district is one thing that's clearly on the horizon, depending on what happens with signatures. I know that the school board has things going on. The city may have things I'm completely unaware of, and that would be fantastic. Because we want to be involved. Okay, and I'll lead to that eventually. First, I'm going to tell you what we're not. We are not an arm of any particular organization. I do not belong to either political party. I belong to the Common Sense Party. I really don't care what party you're in, as long as what you're doing makes sense. Makes sense for the community, makes sense for us. I'm not a member of any certain organizations around town that are whatever they may be, the IFF or whatever the other organizations around may be. I don't represent those people, especially when I'm doing CUNA Act activities as the chair. We are not an arm of any organization or any entity. Not an arm of the school board, not an arm of the city of CUNA, we're completely independent nonprofit. So the advantage that gives us and the advantage it gives me is I've only been in CUNA for about 18 months. So I get introduced to people and they say, I'm so-and-so from such an organization. I go, great. I don't care because I don't know you. So I just want to know. I mean, and it sounds bad, but it's not that I don't care at all. It's that my primary thing is, what do you want to do? Does it make sense? Let's get things done. Not what organization are you a part of or what party are you a member of. Okay. The other thing we're not is a place for governments or for agencies or government bodies to disseminate propaganda. If you are 4 weeks away from an election and you want to have a study circle because you want to tell the community how wonderful you are, too bad. You came to the wrong place. That's not what CUNA Act is about. We're about gathering community input that can actually have an impact on decision makers. If it's 4 weeks before an election, by the time we hold the study circles, create some kind of a report and hand it back to you, the election has already happened and it's over. So we have become useless. And then the people of CUNA feel like we are just a rubber stamp for whatever that organization wanted to do. Too bad. If you approach me as CUNA Act chairman, as long as I'm CUNA Act chairman, which may not be long, who knows? But people may hate me, which would be fine as well. But as long as I'm CUNA Act chairman, if you approach me with something like that, the answer is simply no. It's just quite simply going to be no. We're not going to do that kind of thing. We're not a rubber stamp to soothe anybody's feelings. If you come in skewed with wanting us to come out of CUNA Act study circles with a certain opinion, tough. We're not there to come out with a certain opinion. We're there to get as much as we can a genuine pulse of what's going on in the community, what the citizens of CUNA Act want, what they feel like, and then we present that to you as, in as unbiased a way as we possibly can.
How many people are part of this so far?
At the moment, we have about 25 that are what I would call committed. There are some fringe people who are involved in study circles before us, facilitators, volunteers, mm-hmm. things like that. The idea is that core group, the idea when you have a study circle is to gather as many people from the community as possible. So it kind of leads to one of the things we want is simply participation.
And how are people finding out about it? Are you, like, word of mouth? Are you inviting people
At
in?
The moment, it's word of mouth, and we've done some limited advertising. Mm-hmm. We're at the point where one of the things that was not in the box was a computer. One of the things that was not in the box was a website. One of the things mm-hmm. that was not in a box was a Facebook page. One of the things that was not in the box was a Twitter. We have all of those things now. The website's still in development. We don't have a computer yet, but we will relatively quickly. We're going to move into the 20th century. Our note takers are not going to take them by hand. We're not going to dictate them. That type of thing. So we're moving forward that way as far as advertising and coming into the 21st century website, all social media, all those different outlets. That when CUNA Act really stopped being active 6 years ago, we're just not as big of a deal. So mm-hmm. nobody did anything with it. So we're just. That's one of the first things that I did was on a we need a website, we need to really get up and running. Okay, one of the things we want to be involved early, often, and thoroughly. We want to be involved as early in the process as possible with whatever issue, whoever wants a study circle for CUNA Act, if they want it. We want to be involved as early as possible so we can have the most impact, gather the most relevant information from citizens. Plenty of time so we can also schedule more than one study circle so that everyone can come. We don't want to hear you always have these on Saturday morning at 9 and I can never make it. I just don't. That's not what we wanted. So we want to be involved early. We want to be involved as often as we are needed. Traditionally, CUNA Act did not do much over the summertime. I kind of hope that trend continues. However, if we had a need at that time, we'd be willing to do that so as often as possible. And thoroughly, we want as much information from stakeholders and people who are interested in holding study circles about what do you want to know from the citizens. The more thorough information you provide with us, the better meaningful feedback we can provide you. Things that we need volunteers. We have a pretty solid team, but we would obviously like more. The more volunteers, the lighter the work, the less work I have to do, the happier guy I am. Fairly busy guy anyway, and so taking on this additional responsibility was challenging, time management wise, stuff like that. We want participation, which means as much as possible. You need to tell your friends and neighbors when we're having study circles. I don't know as many people as you do. You guys have been here way longer than I have. You know way more people, so we need participation. The last thing we need is community support. Just the support of the city, the support of the school district, the support of any other entities, the senior center, the rec district, whatever comes out of it, whoever would like to use CUNA Act, we need your support. That's all I got. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
So Troy, what's the process for accessing CUNA Act as a resource?
The process for accessing CUNA Act is essentially you submit some kind of a proposal.
Okay.
I may come up with at some point a template or some kind of a format, but at the moment I don't have one other than just you need to present what the problem is, what your questions are, and some kind of a timetable.
Okay.
That some kind of a timetable that makes sense. For instance, the school levy, obviously we're 18 months out from another school levy. It would be really wise to do study circles, maybe more than one, and do them early. Mm-hmm. In relation to that, which Wendy and I already talked about. But simply because you can come with questions in one study circle, and that may raise other questions that another study circle may be able to answer. The earlier you get us involved and the more questions you can feel field and the broader the topic, first of all, the more community interest we're going to get. Second of all, the more meaningful the feedback we can offer.
So do you just find out what people's opinions are, or do you come up with solutions, alternate ideas, that type of thing?
Sure,
yes,
absolutely.
All of the above.
In other words, what a study circle is, and what the collaborative things I've done, is a bunch of people gather in a room. They don't all agree at the beginning. Everybody gets a say. And sometimes what happens out of those discussions is, as you try to move to a middle place, not that everybody agrees on, but that everybody can accept, a lot of times questions come up. That maybe you need an expert to come in and answer those questions, and you want an independent expert. In other words, I have a question about the school district, but I don't want to bring in Wendy to answer that question. Because Wendy is biased. Now, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with her being biased, but it's just that the people in the room who may be opposed to whatever we're doing are going to see if I bring in somebody from the school district as somebody who's already slanted one direction. So we may need to bring in independent experts. We may need to ask questions, somehow go and do some, somebody go and do some research, things like that. So it's not necessarily a static thing where we meet one night for a couple hours and we come out with an answer. That's just not always the case.
Well, and often the request will be, we don't want you to recommend anything to us, but we just need to know what the
what people think.
What are options? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just a pulse of the community. Yeah. When we did the logging thing in Oregon, the collaborative process, which we used a little different method than study circles, but very similar in the content, was 9 months long. So, I mean, there were a series of meetings. This was not a, it was not a quick fix in any way, shape, or form.
In that process, I would imagine that different individuals get involved at different times, you know, as a topic gains momentum. How do you keep moving forward instead of revisiting the past as new people kind of come into the process?
They have to catch up to speed. It depends on what the topic. The forestry thing, the way that worked was there were people that came in more towards the end because they started to realize this process is huge. And we're actually getting somewhere. And so we had, at first we had a couple lumber companies, then all of a sudden we had 8 in the room. Well, the other ones, we just need to catch up because we're not gonna go back and revisit everything we've already talked about. You need to read the reports that we've already done and all that kind of stuff, studies that we've done, and catch up to speed, and then you can participate in this one. So it'd probably be something similar. I don't foresee us having anything that would probably be that lengthy at this particular point in CUNA, although, it's possible. I mean, the levy is one thing that it's possible. That could be a 9-month process. Well, people start getting involved towards the end. We've already issued reports. You need to read those. We can't really go backwards and hold everybody's hand through the beginning of the process that happened 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Makes sense.
So.
All right, well, thank you, Troy.
You betcha.
I look forward to working with you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we have agenda item for planning and zoning discussion items. This looks like more of an informational topic that's going to come from the city.
Okay, yes, and I have to apologize. I let Wendy go home because she was coughing and what have you, and I thought if she's coming down with something,
yeah.
No, we all don't need to catch it. So anyway, so we'll... we'll handle, I think the time in us in the planning and zoning areas, we had kind of a discussion with Wendy and Devin and you know, the city for the last number of years has sent announcements and all basically to people that I don't think are any longer here. So we kind of agreed, and you know, cities are kind of long to change. So we agreed in a meeting with Lane that we would send those kind of announcements to him and he would make sure they go to the right people. You know, and so you need to know what subdivisions we're working on and you need to know what's happening. And I know the big one that Greg Johnson's doing on the east side of Highway 69. There was at least one person that criticized the fact that didn't have a school site and yet it's a 470 home subdivision. And, you know, I think they've got a timeline of about 7 years. So most of the stuff that we're doing, you know, they're phases. And unless we get back to the 185% growth that we had, we'll be phasing them in. But we want to certainly make sure that the school is aware of what we're working on, because it affects you so strongly too. So that was the basic part of that discussion. And you know, this last month, in looking at the figures and all, we're still growing, but we're not growing fast. But we do have some good things for you that are occurring. And one was announced today, and there'll be a formal announcement about it coming from Simplot. But they did buy the land in the CUNA School District. There will be a $50 million plant going there. So anyway, with 400 employees, 400 to 560 employees.
So, where's that again? We talked about it one time, but...
It's a packing plant.
Where is it going to be?
It'll be in the CUNA School District, but out past Cloverdale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it will...
south of Cunamora Road? Or?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Just off of Cole Road, but it'll be just somewhat south of the Cunamora.
Oh, okay. IVP.
Pardon?
That's kind of near IVP.
The old Tyson plant's a lot further. The Tyson plant and the IVP plant, that's a part of this other business park that is now trying, believe it or not, BLM will allow their land to be annexed to make a path for those people that need sewer and water. Simplot doesn't need that. They have their own, and they'll be, there's a great deal of land out there that they already own, that they'll be taking all of their wastewater from the plant and irrigating crops with it. So it'll be a really nice venture. The others are coming along, not as fast as they should, but the ammunition plant and the ones that are in that group, they need to make sure that they inform us of which way to annex. And, you know, they looked at going through Carl Nicholson's place. That hasn't worked out. Then they looked at going through Simplot's, and they were looking at a part of Simplot's that wasn't the new acquisition where the plant's going. And there's no advantage to a Simplot with the margin in cattle and meat. They have worked out their deal with China, so it looks like that plant's going to be in a pretty good position to make money. So we have not annexed the other business park yet. And so we won't offer sewer and water out there. And but they've come back to us after they learned what Simplot had done, that they want another piece, large piece of land annexed by the city from BLM. And even though they're friends and and what have you, but there's really, it doesn't cost them anything if we annex them. But nonetheless, I want this business group to make up their mind which way they're going, so that we don't keep running back to the BLM and saying, oh, we need another 500 acres. Yeah. So that's coming along. We have a lot of businesses that are in the process of seeing if they can locate here. Some of them are sort of committed, like Bi-Mart, and we have, I know, a Walmart thing that's looking, and we still have like Fred Meyer looking and what have you, and we have plenty of land for that. and Maverick. But each of those, as they come on, are going to help you. And it seems to me like we'll give you enough jump in assessed valuation that you might look at doing away with that second supplemental. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our goal. And so even though we are approving housing with kids, we're looking at 1,100 condominiums coming in that would be for retired, that wouldn't have the kids. And, that one's not far along for me to actually announce who it is and what have you, but I think we did the figure, John did the figure today, and, you know, that would be about a $275 million jump in the school budget. And the $50 million plant, unless somehow they're not required to pay the taxes that we think they will, those two alone would just about do away with your supplemental, and at least one of them. Mm-hmm. And leave you in pretty good shape.
I was just gonna ask, as the city annexes, I know that our boundaries are very close, very similar, but I do know that the school district boundary is different in some areas, and as the city annexes land, how do we ensure that the school district boundaries kind of move and match? Because if you get a $50 million plant going in some place that is in city property, but not district property, you know, we want to make sure that we kind of go along and tie those two together.
The school district boundaries don't change.
Right.
So it's kind of like when you guys negotiated with that Pear Blossom group and let them all go to Meridian. Well, however they got there, no matter what we do, if we annex them and what have you, they're still in the Meridian School District.
Yeah. I was wondering about like new areas, you know, that were on the.
Well, we could try to steal if they're out of our boundaries. We could try to steal them. Whatever district. Right. Yeah.
Somebody that's not paying
Nampa.
Attention.
Yeah.
Nampa, Boise, even maybe put
Boise
out there.
Could be.
But anyway, it's if they're not in the CUNA school district, we'll, as the city, pursue that they are. You know, they're a plant like Simplot, it to come into the city with them not needing water or sewer. There's no reason for us to, but we did make sure they were in the school district. And then what we'll do, we'll handle a lot of the criticism that a packing plant brings, but it won't bring near as much out there as it would if you put it, you know, right next to a subdivision.
And they still plan to incorporate around the railroad tracks, correct?
No, Simplot says that they have their own marshalling yard in Caldwell. It's all be trucking, and if they need to get on the train, they'll take them over there and put them on the train.
Oh.
So, anyway, so, but the other businesses that we're talking to get into that business park, need railroad. And I was told the other day that, by David Groenbeck, that I guess the plastics plant really has found another home. So anyway, that would have been nice to add those 100 employees to the to the business. But so we do have some good things going, and I know we've got on here to discuss a little bit about the recreation district. We've got I think as close of business today we were 1300 and some.
Yes.
Okay, and we've got some people out working at, and we have, we're hiring some. We're determined we're going to get these signatures in, and that, you know, it. Tim Gordon, who is kind of leading part of the charge, indicated that he's running into about 90% approval in Ada County. In Canyon County, our FFA kids were taking petitions home to their parents farm group. I thought that was maybe the best way to approach him, but they can't answer the questions, you know, that the parents have. And so they're coming back unsigned. So I've signed up for a chunk of Canyon County. And even though I don't like the driving into each farm type of thing, I've done that for some other political things, so I guess it won't hurt me to do it again.
How many total signatures are needed?
In Canyon County, we need 300.
300, and how about here?
80 and 3,000.
3,000.
Yeah.
And this is for being in favor of the
correct district, yeah.
Oh, it's just a vote, awesome. Just to bring it to vote.
Just to put it on the ballot.
Yeah. This is just to get it on the ballot in May. And so there's really, you know, when people hear that, a lot of people that had some reservation about signing will go ahead and sign. And, you know, one of the things that we've run into with a recreation district, you don't have recreation districts every other day at the county. So they haven't the vaguest idea what they're telling you is wrong. So they're trying to hold you to a ballot issues like a recall election. And you finally have to get the Secretary of State to calm them down and tell them, no, that's not the way you run a recreation district. So anyway, we kind of think after fits and starts that we're about where we ought to be. And so we are going to continue to push to get it on the ballot.
And the deadline is in January, is that right, to get all the signatures? Or
it is January 23rd.
Yeah. We kind of set a end of December date for us, but we've got a little longer than that. Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the things that, you know, you always run into is some people feel that we haven't put out enough information, that they didn't really help design and they wanted to help design. So we'll have more town hall meetings where we'll just look at the site and let them move the blocks around if they want. But I can't believe that it would change much. Because one of the things that we are going to do in the parking along K Street there is put a park and ride. And we think it'll use K Street then to go on up to Hubbard and go that route. And I mean, if you want to put a park and ride, where do you put it? You know, and I don't care how many people you have looking at that. You don't put it on one of the busiest streets you've got because you never get out there, you know. And so I really like the design at this point, but there isn't anything that we wouldn't change if the public decided they wanted it changed. And we have people stop us all the time that they really like it. The seniors have pretty well signed on because they love the idea of a warm water pool and they can get in and splash around and we'll have some currents in it. It'll design itself well for swim lessons and fun for the kids. And
is it going to have the capacity to be indoor, outdoor, so covered in the winter?
Well, what we're going to do is just do an indoor one, but we will have right next to it plans to put an outside pool.
Okay.
And at that point, we'll probably talk to you folks about swim teams and what have you. But you know, you'd kind of let us know right off that you weren't 100% interested in swim teams because of the cost and what have you. Well, in a few years, that might be, if we continue to get businesses that we think we will, you may not be as poor as you are this year.
And so, where's the proposed site again?
Just kitty corner from the high school, over there on Kuhlman's property.
Uh-huh.
It's the Hill property now, but it'd be the east end, and it would front on an extension of K Street and Deer Flat.
And Deer Flat, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
and it might also be important to mention that as far as design goes, the only design at this point is a helicopter view of some squares on the ground.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, we haven't got into to where the doors are going and stuff yet, so.
Yeah.
One thing is, we'll buy 15 acres. There'll be 6 acres of buildings and parking lots. And then there'll be ball fields to use the rest of it up. And we want to be sure in the design that at least one of our buildings has an outside restroom that can service the fields until we have more money that we can put outside restrooms in. So we too are not trying to break our budget. We think we can do this without causing too much grief. We've projected out to be about $100 for the average house in CUNA, and the average house is about $147,000 in the district. So, and then if you have the growth that it looks like we're going to get, that would drop that that bond issue pretty heavily, even the first year. So the worst year will be the first year.
And so is this proposed to be just within the CUNA city limits, or is it proposed to be the entire CUNA school district boundary? So
it's a recreation district, it would be the entire school district. Well, that's not exactly true, because you guys are in West Ada Recreation District up there, you know, a couple miles about Amity, So we can't include that. And that really isolated the other little part of Canyon County up there that we couldn't get to either. But everything else is in. And, you know, we're always criticized because we're doing this stuff without letting Melba know, and they may want to, you know, they wanted to combine with us one time after the fact. We had gone down and tried to combine our two school districts. And the year after we, you know, they weren't very polite in telling us, go build your own school, we're not going to pay for it. And so the next year they came and begged for us to do that. Because we even offered to take the high school to Beaumont, you know, and services both. So anyway, then they're very critical, though, Al, we don't. So we've gone down and we talked to their council, we've talked to their school board, we've talked to their superintendent, and they're in full agreement that they just as soon drive to Nampa, that there is no advantage for coming to CUNA. So at least we'll proceed on now without having our neighbors criticize us that, yeah, we didn't include them. And I really think it's coming along pretty good. I just think that I just have the feeling we'll get the signatures, and we'll be working on the bond issue. And I can't think of a better year for us to do it than what's coming up. You know, there's just a great deal of positive things happening to both the school and the city, and it makes it all of a sudden affordable. So, and let's see, what else were we supposed to? And maybe the council would like to jump in and add anything that I've forgotten.
Did you have a question, Sally, you wanted to ask about the?
No.
Devin, did you want to talk about the whole conversation we had about the subdivisions, like knowing when homes would sell? Because we're in that weird spot, you know, we really appreciate the information we're getting, it's very helpful, but then, like, what does a new house mean to us? You know, because could it mean, you know, we used to have a figure of like 1.3 kids or something like that with the sale of a house. So this was years ago, right? Wasn't that it? Like, something like that?
3.1.
3.7. I little about that. Yeah. Whatever.
No,
it was.
I think actually it was 1 something.
I thought it was 1 something. Anyway, but now
it was really low. It was weird.
Don't really have a pattern to look at, you know? And so we were just wondering if there was a way we could get.
Well, for me, I think there's two pieces. If you look at item number 5, which is the facilities committee, it's that we're getting ready to seat a facilities committee to address and to be prepared for the growth that may be coming. And for us, the problem is twofold. You know, in the past, as we grew, we had the district didn't have a lot of debt, and we were able to build a lot of schools. Mm-hmm. And with the crash in the economy and the building that happened when the growth was high, we may be in a position for a number of years that we may have good growth in the area, but not have the ability to build a school. and the community may not want to spend money to build a school, but we will still have more student capacity or more students than we have capacity to service. So how do we creatively deal with that issue? And it might involve getting somebody like ACT involved so that the community is fully aware of some of the choices that may be made, which you might have to double shift at a school or do all sorts of different things, run year-long schools. There's all sorts of things you could do to extend your capacity, but the public clearly needs a say in that. But as we move through that, one of the pieces of data that we're certainly going to need is to be attuned to, I think, more aware and to have more data around where growth is happening, what is happening, so that we can include that in our study and make sure that people are fully aware and have all of the information. And in particular, we were hoping to maybe partner with the city in working at Middleton's done this a little bit. They've partnered with, I don't know exactly how, but with the city and the realtor groups and the subdivisions that are coming in. And as houses are sold, there's a form that gets filled out so that the school district is informed of exactly how many people are coming and when, so that we can kind of be more in tune with what's happening and not surprised. Because right now, for example, at Silver Trail and Crimson Point build out, we have a lot of people who are trying to open enroll to those schools, but we really have no idea about exactly when those homes are coming online and how many kids are going to be using those facilities. So it's about managing the growth, making sure the public has information, and making sure that we get all the necessary information from the city to make sure that we paint an accurate picture so that the community is fully aware of what's happening.
Yeah, I think we can work that out. Yeah. And I have to apologize because I said I had one of your teachers on the planning and zoning.
Yeah.
But she's in the charter
school. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
I didn't. Oh, no. Yeah. She did used to work for us.
Yeah, okay.
And then another thing, the subdivision that Mayor talked about with the 470 homes, this one isn't being designed to be starter homes.
Right.
It's a little more high end, so there probably
maybe
won't be the
their
new young families with lots of kids.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Where is that subdivision?
Hubbard and the other side of 69. Yeah.
What is the, what do you think the capacity is right now as far as the school district? Where do you think you are as far as percentage compared to what maximum to where you are now? Roughly?
Well, our high school is almost maxed out, and it just depends on how you paint the picture,
right.
And you talk about if you don't get into the details. And Lane, I'll ask you to help step in here. I think with the subdivisions that are coming online, Silver Trail has a little bit of capacity, but that's built for the subdivisions that we knew were going to go in around there, so we expect that to fill. Crimson Point will be, I think, over capacity. Reed does not have enough classrooms for the people that are around that. It's almost landlocked as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about over capacity. So the only place we have capacity are in our older schools,
Hubbard.
Which is Hubbard Teed and Indian Creek and Ross. The other issue is that our middle school, which we've haven't done anything else, really minimal maintenance on that facility since we moved out of it. We now, I think, have almost more students in it than when we moved out of it to
mm-hmm.
occupy our high school.
Do we really?
So we are already about bursting at the seams. So if I had to put a number on it and guess, I'd say we're probably at 90% occupancy if you wanted to throw a number around, and that's just a guess.
I just want some rough. I mean,
we moved out of the old high school, and now it houses 7th and 8th. We moved out of there with 860 kids. We just broke over 1,400 at the high school, and she's just broke over 800, so she's real close to where we moved out of. It does have an 800 capacity school, so we've got creative with the mezzanine and different areas to stash classrooms, and she's full up. She'll be our next major group.
One of the things we're talking about, just to give you an idea, is just to eat any capacity we can. So, we build an elementary school and you build computer labs and stuff like that in. And we're actually starting to talk about maybe those labs need to go to be mobile devices, and those labs, that space turns into back into a classroom, because you need that extra space. Because if you don't do those kinds of things, you're starting to look at portables and all sorts of other ways to deal with the capacity issues. The high school gets really interesting. It's built, I think, for, you know, around 1,500 kids, and I think we're thinking that the school officials there are thinking we'll go from the 1,400s, we'll skip 1,500 altogether and go to 1,600 next year. So we'll be over capacity. You might be able to kind of deal with that, but the issue is these core classes like math and science and those kinds of things, you don't have enough of the rooms that are set up to handle those classes, those kind of core classes. So you're just running out of space in all so many ways. It's just, it's mind-boggling to the facilities committee work. I'm kind of struggling with how are we going to keep this organized and get this done, because there's so many options and so many things to consider.
And so really it's going to be a group that studies what are the issues, what, you know, the data, the information, the information you share with us, which has been great to be able to say, hey, this is coming your way, so we can look at that. And then what I foresee is out of that will be maybe three or four options, and that's where I see, you know, maybe getting involved with study circles and say, hey, this is the work that this group has done, what do you guys think, you know, and we get some feedback, how we should handle this, you know, where everybody can get involved, and then so the board has input and information before they make decisions to where do we go. Because we're without a facilities plan at this point, and part of that was, you guys all understand, you've been in the same boat, you know, kind of surviving, you know, year to year instead of really thinking, how do we keep our doors open, let alone we're not talking about building new doors, you know. So I'm excited that Devin and Lane are going to be working on this with some community members too to help get this going again for us. So we have a plan, even though it may not be, we need to be tweaked and adjusted, but right now no plan is.
Well, we'll check with Middleton and see what they are doing.
Yeah, I think we didn't even know if, like, maybe the chamber, maybe that'd be a route of our conversation, but I think we can probably figure that out. It would just, so we know we're ready.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it might be helpful to have.
We could send a welcome packet even, you know, so just some nice things we could do to help families coming into our schools. So it's a little more
friendly. Given the amount of data that, you know, has to go into the projections and to support a long-term facilities plan, it might be appropriate to have somebody from the city, you know, officially on the committee, so to help make sure that we can get the information and that we have the appropriate data. Because when I've researched and looked at facility plans that really are comprehensive for 10 years or more, 5 to 10 years, you really need a lot of data, because the community needs to be fully aware of what's happening. And so I think if you consider that too, about whom it might be appropriate, I think that might be a great starting point for us as well. And then we could work through some of those little details, you know, through the appropriate channels inside your team. So.
Well, this looks like a major priority, really, to get working on. So let's crank it up.
Well, and I think there's two parts to it. If I could just take a minute more, is that, you know, it's that, what do we do immediately about our growth? But then we also have an issue about our plant facility levy, which, you know, I think everyone is aware that expired. And as we look at how that comes back into the tax base and how do we get the money to support and maintain the facilities that we currently have, we need a lot of data around that too. So there's two pieces of work that the facilities committee needs to probably take on. So.
All right.
And we constantly look together with Land. The mayor and I have talked sites and what the city has and what the school district's been offered, so we need to continue to work close on that.
All right, well, it's getting close. We got to transform our room so we can start it.
Okay. Yeah, we need to have just a few minutes to call this group to, or the council to order.
All right.
Because they got to vote on something tonight.
All right,
go ahead. Do we want to go out there, or do we just
want to
stay?
You can do it here if you want.
Yeah, you can. Okay.
So we're officially ending our joint work session here, and you guys can go ahead and take care of your business.
All right, great. Thank you. We'll call the meeting to order, and would you hold the council, please?
Sure. Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Council Member Jones.
Here.
Council Member Boobin Bonderhart.
Here.
Council Member Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. Thank you. We have this amended agenda where we joint meeting take up a vote for an expenditure of funds for the Langdon Group. Resolution number R892014, Langdon Group, a resolution of the City of CUNA, Idaho approving the consultant services agreement with the Langdon Group related to the formation of the Recreation District pursuant to the scope of work agreement and authorizing the mayor to execute the agreement. And Richard put this together, so if you have any questions.
Looks like there's actually two proposals.
There is two proposals. This came in earlier today. Chris Engels has been working with the Langdon Group, that's a subsidiary of JUB, on the obtaining of signatures and some preparation of documents for information in fulfilling those signature canvassers out there. So there's two proposals. The first one came in at just under $10,000, and the other one's about half that, and it's got basically some of the things we're going to do. This, the funds for this would come out of that, I think it was about $130,000 or so that was donated by Tim Mack for the formation or the use of the recreation or parks type of thing, and that's what's paid for the architects so far in the Recreation District swimming pool. So this would come out of it, but Chris really felt at this point that we really need to put together some packets and information and get some strategy going on getting these signatures. As said earlier, we're at about 1,300 signatures. We need 3,300 people are out there gumshoeing it to get that done, but it's taken a lot more time than we put out. Independent contractor Chris has just had a couple come forward on that, so she feels like it's really important to get something going with a professional company that can put together and do the social media and sell it on it. So
what kind of timeline are they offering on this? Like,
they didn't
start date.
They didn't exactly give a start date, but that's why we put it on for today, kind of an emergency. Otherwise, we could have waited until next Tuesday, which would have got us to probably the end of the week or so. We intend to get them going as soon as possible because we're on that deadline of the 23rd of January, and they know that. And they know that we've got to get those signatures turned in. And once we turn them in, we can't turn them in, half of them, and then get another half.
Right.
Once they're in, it closes. So they realize that, and time is a huge factor in this whole thing. So
I have a question. I noticed between the full scope of work and the reduced scope of work, if you look at the full scope of work, task two, is creation and dissemination of press releases and strategic advice on incorporating the use of social media, and that's $1,200. But in the reduced scope of work, they've separated out press releases for $1,200 and then social media for $1,850. Seems like they were willing to do what's in the reduced scope of work, tasks two and three, together for $1,200 the first time, but then they separated them out and it's over $3,000 in the second one. I'm just wondering, I don't feel like I have a good idea if task three on the reduced scope of work provides a good value, because I'm not aware that we use a social media outlet other than Facebook, and if, as they're saying, all they're doing is adapting the content from task one, I don't know why we wouldn't be able to do that if we're just talking about maybe slightly modifying a handout or something and then posting it to our Facebook page. That doesn't seem like something we need to pay almost $2,000 for them to do.
Okay. And I can, if there's a question on it, I can work with them. And if we're going leaning for the reduced version, but we want to modify that a little bit, I can certainly work with that. I guess we can improve it up to the amount of $9,900, but if we can work on it less, we certainly can.
I would just be interested in, I mean, if they, if essentially if we could take task one and two, in the reduced version, task one is identical, task two is slightly modified so that they've essentially broken it out into two things that cost $3,000 instead of one thing that costs $1,200. I'd be interested in just basically doing task one and two from the first one and have that be the reduced scope of work.
Okay.
I kind of looked at that same thing, and I guess kind of what I've assumed out of that was, since they were taking out the canvassing portion out of the big one, that they probably would work more on the social media, and I'm completely assuming because I don't know, but
yeah.
So I assumed that they were going to expand the scope on this one, but
okay. So the everyone's kind of interested in the reduced scope with some modifications.
Yeah, the other thing that I'm really concerned about is, given that we're about, we have about 6 weeks left, if this wouldn't be ready, and that there's two holidays between then and now, for me, the week of Christmas is almost a complete throwaway. So really, if it's not done and ready by, like, you know, December 26th, I don't think it's worth spending the money on, because we're really only talking about, you know, 3 weeks at that point. And so, you know, is it worth it to spend $1,000 a week on it? I just would want some assurance that this is going to be done, like,
I'll
really,
inquire
really
on
fast.
That too,
yeah.
And make sure that okay. So timeline, and then on the reduced version with a modification. Okay.
Do we want to go ahead? I mean, I don't know how other people feel, but I would potentially be okay with like passing it with a tentative, you know, with some, that we would pass the resolution with the understanding that there would still, you know, that as long as some clarifications come back the way that we assume that they will, then, you know, the resolution is passed pending that. Do you want that, or do you want to just
wait? Yeah, let's do that, so we're not crunched for time, because otherwise we'd lose a week and a half.
How important do we think it is to, I mean, are we kind of set on taking out that canvassing effort?
Well, it looks...
I mean, if we're going to spend the money and we don't do this right...
It's a one-time shot.
And we got one shot at it.
I think that task five is probably the most important thing.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
Although...
Could we add that to the reduce and come up with 6,700?
I mean, we're just talking about identifying neighborhoods, which we can completely do by looking at our own maps. We don't have that big of a city. And then providing information material for canvassers, that's what we just paid for in task one. I just don't know how much value it's actually giving us.
Yeah, they're not providing the canvassers, I don't see.
Yeah, they're just identifying the neighborhoods,
yeah, I mean,
which Chris has the map.
Yeah.
I think we've already done that.
I mean, we all figured out neighborhoods when we were running last time, so I think it's...
All the neighborhoods, I mean.
Okay, then I'm good with that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I would potentially, I think, like, event-based outreach and key stakeholder outreach is important, but with such a short timeline, I just don't know how, if we're really going to get the value for our money, because...
Well, we
there's
have
not time to plan more events and stuff. I mean, we missed the boat on that, I think.
And I would agree. I mean, really, that's Tim Gordon is hugely involved with going out and doing things, and that's probably one of the people that would come up on their list to say who's in, you know, who wants to go do this. And he and Belinda are there, and their connection to the Boys and Girls Club is, it probably takes care of task four.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and make my motion, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So I'm potentially fine with authorizing up to the 4250, but I would like clarification about what exactly task three includes. If it's really just like slightly modifying the flyers that they're making for task one and showing us how to post them to Facebook, I think that's stuff that our staff already knows how to do, so why not save the almost two grand for that. If it's something substantially different and a lot greater, and they can more clearly explain how task three is different from task two in the full proposal, then, you know, my motion would potentially authorize spending the additional funds on that. And then do we want to set like a date that everything would need to be completed by?
I think he's got the 26th written down.
December 26th.
Does that sound okay?
That sounds reasonable,
okay.
Yeah.
Then I move we approve resolution number R89-2014 with the stipulation that we are interested in the reduced scope of work for up to 4250, depending on some additional information we get regarding what task three would include, and with the stipulation that the work would be completed by December 26th.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Move second we adjourn. So we get out of here before we get thrown out.